I see these horrific incidents, I think this can give us some peace that, okay, justice will be served. We're just a little bit short-sighted. We can come before the Prince of Peace and the Wonderful Counselor. We can receive counsel and we can receive peace. Keto. Oh, keto chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, there's a lot of fat in this, bro. I know we're recording, but...
Is it good fat or bad fat?
It's good fat. I mean,
I like a
couple of these cookies, you're pretty satiated.
It actually.
I'm just eating it because I bought it for my wife and she didn't want it, so... I don't like to waste food.
But it puts in big letters, 3 grams of protein. Like, that's a big thing.
Seriously.
It is per cookie.
10 grams of fat, zero guilt. This is like the perfect Christian life right here.
Do you
protein,
feel
fat, and guilt.
Do you feel zero guilt right now?
Oh, my goodness, man. That with my Death Wish coffee.
Nice. Nicely done. Hey, welcome to Thin Line Believers again. Death Wish Coffee. Look at that. Nice work. Welcome to Thin Line Believers again. Adam and Mike, as usual. Finally got together again, and we actually previously recorded one that I still haven't got put up. Hopefully I'll get it put up here pretty quick. But by the time you hear
by the time you hear this, it might be Thanksgiving. So, hey, happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? If the devil can't stop you, he'll distract you. So,
right? Ain't that the truth?
Hey, let's get into something here, and I am just gonna spitball. Mike, there's folks that are new believers, are wondering if they believe, and are exploring their current belief. Okay, let's talk to those folks today, especially in law enforcement. We can run into a lot of different things that will cause us to question our faith. In fact, that's one of the things we talk about when it comes to, dealing with critical incidents. You can have a crisis of faith, right? You can have a crisis of what you believe, and you can really start to question those things. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's bad. I would say it's good if it leads you toward Christ. I'd say it's bad if it pushes you away from Christ. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So with that in mind, hopefully today maybe we can give you some tools, some things to think about when it comes to faith, whether it's something new, something you're readdressing or revisiting. There is something out there that's called deconstructionism, and that's dangerous. Because that generally is a way of looking at religion through the eyes or through the lens of the world. And we want to do just the opposite of that. If we're going to look at the world, we would do so through the lens of faith and through the lens of Christ. And so doing it the opposite way, putting the world first, that's a dangerous way to go about it. So, but hopefully we can give some tools. And by we, I mean Pastor Mike here.
Oh, man, I don't know what to offer. You know, while you're sharing, I just remember that there's that brand called True North. I know it's in the firefighting world. I'm not sure if it's in the police world, but...
Well, you've lived in both, so...
Yeah. So, you know, when we face these calls, right? For example, fire, police, you roll up on a scene and you see a little body and it's a baby that got, you know, tossed out of the vehicle. You know, obviously the real heroes in the trooper vehicles get there first before fire gets there, because firefighters minimum takes 5-10 minutes for them to stop eating their breakfast to get suited up to get into an accident scene.
Goodness.
But, you know, when they see that little body on the roadside and they know the moment they get there, it's dead on arrival. After the incident, if, you know, let's say every single member that showed up are in their mid to late 20s, early 30s, and they have a brand new baby or an infant about that age, right? There's that road of crisis there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and obviously after a major incident, there's, you know, you have your after action report, and, you know, you've got guys, you know, the safety officer that's, you know, observing the reactions of all the members and writing down names. And you can see the team members that are hurting, right? And, you know, it's like that saying, all roads lead to God. And when people say that, it kind of bugs me, you know,
as it should, yeah.
You know, and I tell people, well, it's technically true. You know, I tell people, you're missing a couple of statements there. All roads lead to God for judgment. And, you know, you have weird faces, you know, and I say, well, it's like committing a crime. You know, all roads lead to eventually the judge. The judge is going to determine, you know, what appropriate actions that should be taken. Even, well, in our culture right now, the woke judges don't seem to understand that. But, you know, speaking about true north, when you're going north, you know, you and I, well, I don't live in a state that there's a lot of mountains, but back in Colorado, there was a lot of trails, right? And in Oregon, there's a lot of trails. And
like the Oregon Trail.
Yeah. And sad to say, you know, you got guys like, should I name him? Rob Bell?
Oh, ouch.
Oh, anywho, I'll let you talk about him. But for example, all roads lead to God for judgment. The question is, do you know Jesus Christ for salvation? Or you don't, right? I mean, prior to us recording, we're talking about Lee Strobel, Case for Christianity, atheist. He's out to set out and disprove that Jesus existed, but there is. And so, true north. And I'm sure you've been on a trail before. I know I have, going hiking. You have a map. And if you don't know how to use the map very well, you're almost guesstimating, right? And I remember going hiking with a friend of mine. Oh, it's only like a 2-hour hike. I was like, cool, we go. Ended up being almost 14 hours because we went off the wrong trail.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it was beautiful, like God's country. I mean, like we saw lakes, snow, sun, streams, everything. But then I look, I'm like, let me see that map, bro. So where were we? So we were right here. And I was telling, I was like, man, we were right here. We took the wrong turn, wrong fork. And I think a lot of people take the wrong trail. And they're passionate that they're going true north. In reality, they weren't, right? And I think there's a lot of people that they think they're on the right path. And I'm hoping genuinely if in their heart they want to find God, God will show himself. But at the same time, it's like on our hiking trip, man, we added 10 hours to this hike where, you know, my wife was ready to send for the SWAT team and search and rescue team and all this stuff. And the wives are calling each other, have you heard from your husband? Because there's no cell phone service. You know, we didn't bring a satellite phone or anything like that. So, but, you know, going back to my analogy of, you know, the first responder showing up and you see a little baby on the, you know, obviously the baby died or whatever. They have a reality check and they have to question themselves. Like, wow, that's the same age as my daughter or my son. You know, now, obviously, for I would say a kid, right? Child, the age of accountability plays in the factor. And I'm a believer that, you know, when a child can't make a conscious decision to receive Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, and if in an event they're in an accident, they die, they're going to heaven. You know, our God of the Bible is not a morbid God where he sends them to hell. But there is that reality check. It's like, well, if the baby goes to heaven, are you going to go to heaven as an adult, as the parent, right? And sad to say, there's a lot of people that are reading books and articles from authors and former pastors, because I mentioned former because there are pastors that have renounced their relationship with Jesus Christ, and they'll say that the Bible's not real. You know, it's just a bunch of stories in a book. And anyways, I can go on and on, but I think you wanted to say something because you have something in your hand.
I do. You might recognize this. Actually, some pretty cool guy gave me this. Yeah, this is The Making of a Man of God by Alan Redpath.
Powerful book, powerful book.
And pulls a lot of lessons from the life of David, which I appreciate because David, you know, the more you read about David, the more you kind of feel like, man, this is a guy like me. This guy messed up all the time.
A dirtbag.
Total dirtbag. But he's a man after God's own heart, it says. It's like, well, how does that happen? And he goes into this story here about where David moved into a part of the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines were, dude, the Philistines were mortal enemies of Israel. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that David finds himself living there is pretty interesting. And as sort of a commentary on this, I'm going to read to you just a portion here. And if you haven't read this book, I do recommend it. The committed man of God is against sin, and all the powers of evil are against him. In such a warfare, there is no intermission at all. The devil never takes 5 minutes vacation. He has an endless variety of methods of attack, and alas, let us acknowledge it. We all know only too well that within our hearts there is many a traitor ready and eager to betray us into his hand. Many times you and I have been saved only by a miracle, but the enemies we thought we had overcome and slain and left behind years ago have risen up against us with fresh power. And critical incidents, man, they have a way of bringing everything from our past all back together again. We've talked about how every incident that we go through, and I've seen this physical example, and it's kind of interesting to see, a little dramatic, but it makes a good point. You know, if you've got this backpack or say a bucket, and every incident that you go through, whether it's on the job or at home, that's another rock being tossed in that bucket that you're carrying around. And I wouldn't say you're carrying it around voluntarily. It's there. You don't have a choice. The bucket is attached to you forever, but what gets put into the bucket, that sometimes we have a choice. But here's the deal. If you're a first responder, oftentimes that path has been chosen for you. And so, by default, by choosing that path, you're going to add a whole lot more to that bucket than the average citizen. You know, I think it's been said that the average person faces one critical incident in their life. And I'd say for the average copper firefighter, it's pretty conservative to say you face one critical incident per year, you know, and I think it's higher than that. So it's no wonder that a lot of people in law enforcement, they have this crisis of faith. They have this crisis of identity.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, if you are firmly rooted in your faith, then if that gets shaken, it shakes your whole identity. But I don't think that that's something that has to be a bad thing. And I don't think that that's something that has to be permanent, right? If it gives you an opportunity to step back and look through the lens of the Word, most importantly, and see if what you are truly, if what you're believing is true, then that's a good thing for your faith, right? Mm-hmm. But if you decide to take a step back and look at the Bible like the world looks at it, then mistakes are going to be made. And it's going to, then yeah, your crisis of faith is going to lead to bad places. Yeah, I can't really tell you how many critical incidents I've been in. I was, you know, if I knew the number, that would be pretty interesting. But I will tell you this. There was one pretty recently that I've actually talked about on this podcast where I was running up, and I don't think that I would consider this the most critical incident that I've been in, not by a long shot. But as I'm running up to a call of a female on the outside of the railing of a bridge, all right, a very high bridge, 1,000-foot fall probably, she sees me. I couldn't have been 20 feet away as I'm running to try and help this gal. She jumps. And full disclosure, I did share some expletives in that case because that was not cool. But that one, I wasn't able to maintain autopilot, right? I mean, when we go into a situation, we can generally stay on autopilot, do our job, and then, you know, later on we decompress. In this case, I noticed because my bucket was full at that point. That's all it was. My bucket was full. Mm-hmm. I had a hard time staying on autopilot. And I had to leave. I had to leave the scene. I called my wife, and I dealt with it over the phone. But that could have easily given me a crisis of faith if I wasn't as rooted in the Word as I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knowing that this world is not my home, that I'm just passing through. And it's because of that solid foundation of the Word that I was able to get through it. But it didn't mean that I didn't deal with the depression and stuff like that, right? I mean, as Christians, we still deal with that kind of stuff. And it sucks, but we do still deal with it. And that's because of what I just read to you. You know, the devil, he doesn't take time off. And he hates the spirit that is within the Christian. But this whole chapter of what I just read a portion of to you, it deals with not giving in to Satan because there's some relief there. Because it's a temporary relief and it's only a perceived relief. You know, we may experience a time away from the critical incidents, some of the depression and things like that. But in the long run, it leads to a place where fire is never quenched and the worm never dies. So,
you know, it's funny you mentioned collecting buckets, right? I remember being a kid when my dad would come home, I would reach in his pocket and take his extra change. Every once in a while, he'll give me a quarter, you know, because back then, you know, a quarter could buy you some candy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in a world that we live in, like when you go hiking and, you know, technology has gotten so good, you know, where, you know, our vests are getting lighter, but yet it provides more protection, you know, and on and on. And, you know, either we're going to carry coins of investment or rocks of burdens, right? And, you know, I mentioned safety officers, and I was like thinking, a lot of times, you know, we have that machismo attitude at incidents where, you know, when your captain or your fellow senior member is like, hey, you doing okay? You're like, oh, I'm good, sir. Solid. And then you go in your patrol car, you go in the locker room and you just start just dumping, you know? And when you get to that point, it's a little late, right? And, yeah. You know, the scripture says, call unto me and I will hear thee and I will answer thee and on and on and on. And I've been on some critical incidences where, you know, when you see dead bodies and you see, you know, death, it takes a toll on you. And I always remind, you know, I always remind myself, I'm like, well, I hope that person knew the Lord.
Yeah.
Right. And my thing is, I need to know the Lord today, not yesterday. And like you said, you mentioned David, and David was a man after God's own heart, but that guy was a douchebag. If you think about it.
In a lot of ways. Yeah.
You know, devotionally, I've been going through, you know, Samuel, and he finds himself on the rooftop and he sees, you know, a girl bathing. Now, there's conjecture where, you know, I think Bathsheba has a part in it too. Like, why are you taking a bath towards David's rooftop view? You know, and David, how's he know, right? I mean, obviously it takes two to tango. But again, David, in spite of him sending out, you know, Uriah the Hittite to be murdered, you know, and David obviously has a baby with Bathsheba. The baby dies and he mourns. Then they have, you know, they consummate their marriage. She has another kid and on and on. And God, just amazing to me how God uses our failures and our mistakes to bring glory to himself, right? Mm-hmm. And every day I feel like, man, I'm not worthy. And Satan's always whispering to me, man, you're worthless. I'm like, I know I'm worthless. You know? And then the Holy Spirit has a way of reminding me, he's like, but you're worthy because of the Son of God.
Amen.
Right? And, you know, it's funny. It's like, those of us that have worn the uniform or wear it, we understand there is that camaraderie, brotherhood, whatever, that proud moment where I get to wear this uniform, right? And like, I think police, fire, especially in a line of duty death, when you go to those memorials, those are a sight to see. When you see hundreds of motorcade vehicles, police, fire, and you go, and to zoom in on it, you want to make sure your car is all dialed in, right? Your uniform's dialed in. And it's then when we check out each other's uniform, we're like, oh man, that's good. Your department's taking care of you. Then there's that little bit of pride. And then I realized we're on God's team. Right? And like, it just reminded me, Satan doesn't take a vacation. But yet Satan doesn't have all the angels as God does. He only took a third. So we still have more angel on our team. Right? And This coming Sunday, I'm teaching on, you know, Acts 12, where an angel freed Peter from jail out of the hand of Herod. Right? Then Herod, had in the end of chapter 12, because he was pissed off and the people and Tyre inside, and they're like, hey, we don't want to lose our supplies. Let's throw him a party. And, you know, and they said, oh, he's got like the voice of a God. And because Herod didn't give honor to the Lord, it's funny, the angel smote Herod.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and right now, before I got on this, I've been reading 2 Thessalonians and Revelation, because there's some commentators that I was reading. They're like, it's interesting how King Herod represents the man of sin, aka Antichrist.
Yeah, the beast.
And I was like, and then like, I was like, looking at all the current events of World Economic Forum, hey, you shall own nothing and you will be happy. You know, hey, digital currency. We just want to monitor digital currency. It's a better, safer way, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and then what was it? We talked about this, I think, a long time ago, where those they've set up, what, 3 religious churches or centers?
Yep.
Right? And yeah. I'm like, oh, the stage is being set for the Antichrist.
Yeah, the Abrahamic house of worship or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so I was just studying that. I still got to finish it after we finish, after I work out too. But I was like, never, because I, you know, you've read Book of Acts. It's church history. And then I'm studying for this. I was like, oh, wow. And I was like thinking, jailed, Peter's freed by the angel, Herod's pissed off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like thinking, and not that I'm trying to spiritualize anything, but I'm like, the restrainer, right?
Yeah.
And I was like,
well, if you're listening to this and you don't know what he's talking about, so Peter was miraculously freed from prison. Mm-hmm. And this could be compared, this could be looked at as symbolically the church being freed from this world, right? Via the Holy Spirit withdrawing, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what the 2 Thessalonians talks about there. So
yeah. So those of you that are listening or watching, I'm smiling. I'm excited because we're living at a time where I think the mark of the beast is already ready to go. Because if you think about it, you know, with all the technology, with facial recognition technology, I mean, our phones does that, right?
Yeah.
Matter of time, you know, I think Amazon's already got the handprint, thumbprint, or whatever, where you can purchase. Yep. The little chip under your skin is technology that is already there.
Mm-hmm.
And this was years ago, I think, several years ago, where supposedly that little chip that goes under your skin holds enough information to go around the world 3 times or something like that, like medical, financial, you know. And I'm just like, holy smokes. And then you got the worship center being built, right? You've got Nord Stream pipeline being exploded. So the natural gas, Israel happens all of a sudden to be one of the biggest exporters of all this stuff. And, you know, just yesterday and today, I think it's going to be finalized that Netanyahu's going to be back. Okay, I'm like, okay, Lord. So this is going to put a little ding in it. So what's going to happen, right? I'm like, okay, maybe the United States has a little hope, right? Because Netanyahu loves the United States, but I don't know. But mm-hmm. I was like thinking, you know, in studying for the Book of Acts, I was like, okay, the people praise them because obviously flattery. And what are we going to do as a people when diesel fuel is no longer available, right? That means all our stuff's not going to be, you know, and food's not going to be available. Resources aren't going to be available. Our U.S. dollar is going down the drain, you know, and it's almost like the stage is being set for a digital currency. You know, and all this.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to get into all that.
In Agenda 2030, that's what, about 7 years away?
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. And the Christians that are not aware of what's going on, if you're listening to us, Adam and I are both into prophecy. I think Adam is better knowledge than I am. I'm just, you know, I'm just there for the ride. But reading the Bible and the things that are happening right now, they're blatantly, openly stating how they want to create a new world order, right? The Great Reset. I think Xi Jinping was telling another world leader that in order for the Great Reset to take place, they have to get rid of the church, right?
Right.
And so in light of what's going on in Acts chapter 12, because I was studying for that, you know, it says that there's a multitude that believe. And I was like thinking, wow, this is the, you know, could this be the leading into the tribulation saints, right? And because what you and I are not going to be here, we're going to be watching from above, ruling and reigning.
Yeah.
And, but coming back to the topic of True North and trails and, you know, the baggage that you carried, I think we have to make sure that we offer the gospel on this, because those of us that are having this baggage, these things that we carry, Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Right? There's only one sin that you cannot be forgiven of, and that's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But every sin and every sin can be forgiven and will be forgiven if you repent. Mm-hmm. For goodness sake, even the thief on the cross, after he came to a realization, right? Will you remember me? And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because if you think about it, man, you're genuinely a thief that committed a crime and you're on death row. And Jesus promises this thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. The other thief didn't take that promise. And, you know, we could talk about hell another time, but hell is real, where you could still see, you could hear, you could sense, right? But, you know, I mean, I can't imagine it, but like to die, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And, you know, it's like that bittersweet when you and I hear of officers or firefighters that have been shot in the line of duty and they die. And I don't know if you do this, but I've done this a lot in uniform. I'm like, did that brother or sister know the Lord? You know? And obviously because you're part of, you know, critical incident management, stress management team and all that. And then, you know, when I show up at a chaplain call or whatever, you know, I know my foremost duty is at least at some point present hope to them. Right? Because I mean, we're all going to die. That's one thing that we can't escape. Unless the rapture takes place, you know. That, you know, like, what was it? Enoch walked with God and was
taken. Not. It was right? No more. Yep.
I mean, could you imagine? Like, I'm always praying every time, whenever I lead worship, or we rapture the church while we're singing. You know, and that's always been kind of like a dream of mine, like, you know, joining with the angels, holy, 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 you know. And then I'm worshiping here, I'm like, oh, I'm with the angels and the saints,
you know. Yeah. That's funny.
And I'm like thinking, who's going to be the worship leader in heaven? Is it going to be David? Stringed instruments?
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool because, you know, David was a warrior and a shepherd. Right? Mm-hmm. That'd be kind of cool. Anyways.
Well, let me bring us to a close here because I'd like to keep this somewhat brief, because what I want to do is I want to give you some tools. If you're dealing with depression, questioning your faith, you know, if you feel like you're in a crisis of faith, I want to share something here from Scripture just to kind of close this out and to give you a little bit of encouragement and maybe a little bit of direction. And this isn't direction that I'm just pulling out of the Bible for no reason. This is something that I used recently. I'll tell anybody that asks, I have gone to counseling. I have a shrink. I have a psychologist that I utilize. It's a Christian person, which is important to me. I've tried a lot of other things too. I've tried a Christian meditation, right? You can find it on YouTube. It's basically Scripture. And the Bible says that David meditated on the Word day and night. So I don't find that to be unscriptural. Okay. I don't do an Eastern sort of meditation. What I do is I do a biblical meditation. Okay. I sit quietly and ponder Scripture. And that's what I fill my head with. I don't empty my head so that the devil could come in. So a little bit different than maybe the Eastern sort of meditation. Mm-hmm. Exercise is obviously a good one. And that's one that I can definitely tell when I have been slacking off in that area of my life. Exercise is a good one. Helps feed your brain with the,
Dopamine?
Thank you. Dopamine. I was going to say melatonin, but that's not right.
Dopamine.
Yeah, dopamine. So it gives you the good stuff in your brain, the same stuff that you would get very temporarily from scrolling social media. Right? But that stuff's actually kind of detrimental. It has the opposite effect over time. So that being said, healthy diet, add that kind of stuff in there. But on top of all that, here's the most recent, most helpful thing that I have really called out to the Lord about. And so I've got here Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, which are most commonly heard around Christmas time because they're prophecies of Christ. But I think we miss some of these things in here. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Hmm. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God." Now, I've looked this up in several translations, and some of them omit the comma between wonderful and counselor because the original Hebrew doesn't have punctuation. Okay, not like this. So it can either be he's wonderful and counselor, or he's wonderful counselor. Either way, God via Jesus is the great wonderful counselor. So I go to counseling, right? But am I actually crying out to my counselor, the one who can actually heal me and provide real, true healing? That's something to ponder. Am I actually calling out to the counselor of counselors? Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So do you feel like there's a peace lacking in your life? Am I crying out to the Prince of Peace? Or am I trying to go it alone? Am I wondering about who this guy is that this whole book is about? Or am I calling out to him? Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it, with these two words, check this out, with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Judgment and justice. That's one thing that really bugs me, right? We see all these horrific things. Oftentimes there's somebody responsible for it. The majority of the time it's Satan. However, sometimes it's a person, right? It's the evil from a person that hurts another person, and we have to deal with the outcome. Where is the justice? You know, we ask that. Christ is justice. And unfortunately, a lot of us, present company included, can be so short-sighted that we miss the fact that there's an eternity ahead of us where justice will be served. Michael talked about every eye will see, every knee will bow before Christ. Yeah. Everybody will see Jesus. Some will see Jesus to receive judgment, some for rewards. I'd rather be on the reward side of that. So when we see these horrific incidents, I think this can give us some peace that, okay, justice will be served. We're just a little bit short-sighted. We can come before the Prince of Peace and the wonderful counselor. We can receive counsel and we can receive peace. An everlasting peace, not something that comes from the devil taking a break because we've stepped away from the Lord, but we can actually receive peace. So, Michael?
Amen to everything that you said. I mean, in a matter of weeks, Christmas is upon us, you know? And, you know, my encouragement, my kids are repeating some of my phrases with their friends. They're like, oh, we go to church. My daughter was telling me that she's all, you go to church? Are you a CEO? They're like, what's that? They're like, you're just a Christmas, Easter only kind of guy? And straight up, oh, I was like, you did not. She's like, yeah. And I come to find out these kids in my class, they're like, yeah, we only go to church during Christmas and Easter. And she's, I was like, oh my goodness. At least my kids are picking up on things I share.
Yeah.
If you are a CEO, you go to church because he's Christmas, Easter only. I mean, I truly, when you were reading that, I was thinking about, where we're talking about, churches getting ready for Thanksgiving, then Easter, Christmas and all that stuff. And, that we put so much emphasis and money into it. You know, it's more, it's become more of a entertainment value, I guess. And not to take up too much time because, you and I are both busy, but I've been in those positions in those churches where, it's exciting because people are coming and you have children singing and stuff like that, but yet, why aren't we doing worship like this every weekend? Why are we dumping so much money and resources just to one weekend? I understand there's a bunch of, creasters coming that weekend and whatnot, but it's kind of like, if we're living the life of Christmas every single weekend, then people should be drawn to the gift of all gifts, Jesus Christ, right? He is wonderful, and he is our counselor. He is our mighty God. And one day we are going to face the Maker. And you and I are going to face our Maker because he's going to reward us. There's going to be others of us that's going to be facing the Maker. In a sense, they're going to have the orange jumpsuits to be judged. And God's going to judge one way or another. For us, we're going to get, judged for the things, the deeds that we did here on earth, right? Those that Christians are crazy. Deadline Believers podcast, Adam and Mike, they're both crazy. And then they have to face God one day. And they're going to say, those guys weren't crazy. And, going back to the thieves on the cross, one finally came to a realization he needed Jesus Christ, the other one didn't. And it's the same thing for any listener today or, anybody that's watching. If you don't know Jesus, to be undecided about him is to be decided. And I'll leave it at that because if you don't know the Lord, you've decided not to know the Lord. And hope you find the Lord.
Amen to that. Father in heaven, thank you for this time with Michael. Thank you for the listeners. Father, we ask that you would be very present with them. If they are ones who are dealing with some of the negative repercussions of going through a critical incident, we ask that you would be more present than ever in their lives, that they would feel your presence, Lord, and that they would receive peace that your word promises, that they would receive counsel in their time of need, and Lord, that they would one day see justice. And I thank you for the fact that even though I deserve judgment, that you paid for that on the cross. And that as such, justice has been served. And I will receive reward instead of judgment in that day.
Yes.
At your mercy seat. So, Father, be with the listener. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Cool, cool. All right, folks. Yeah, if you're listening to this on podcast, keep in mind that we do a daily verse that's posted on YouTube. We do a daily verse that's also on Instagram. And Michael's church does one, too. And we try to get that into our stories anytime we see those. So, anything, Michael?
No. Hey, we're praying for you. And if you ever need to talk with anybody, you know, reach out to us, email us. We'll even give you our personal cell phones, but you have to email us.
Exactly. Yep. Thinlinebelievers@gmail.com. God bless. See you.